Welcome to Everyday Wellness. Wellness is the result of the decisions that you make every day. It's your mindset and the thoughts you believe. Wellness is the food you put in your body and the relationship you have with yourself and others. Wellness is your work and meaning. Join us on Everyday Wellness as we explore ways that you can choose wellness today.
Good morning. We are so excited to have Katarina Wilk with us this morning. She is a medical writer and author of Perimenopower, a book about the perimenopause period that spreads around the globe. Excitingly enough, we met over, I believe, Instagram, and we were really delighted to have you on the podcast this morning.
Thank you for having me. I'm really, really glad that you want me on the podcast.
Yeah. So out of curiosity, was it through your own process of, I always say aging in reverse, that you became interested in perimenopause? Was it due to the fact that you had a really negative experience with perimenopause? What was the impetus for the book?
I actually had a really bad experience. I was like 42, 43 years old when it started for me. And as it began, I had like severe insomnia. And the problem was that when I went to the medical care, everyone wanted to make me believe that I was depressed and I was burned out, and they wanted to give me antidepressants and everything. And then I'm a medical writer, so when this happened to my body, I have like a very good knowledge of my own body. I know when it's something going on. So I started to realize that it wasn't only the insomnia. I had some panic attacks that I didn't have before, and I was like very sad and down. I had low mood. I had low libido, and it just were so many strange things. So I started to do the research by myself, and after a while I could see that no one is talking about the perimenopause. Everyone is talking about the menopause. And I don't know how it is in the States, but here in Europe everyone thinks that menopause is something that gets to you when you're around 50.
Right.
You don't realize that the symptoms you may have when you're 40 plus, that they also can be related to the menopause that is coming. So I decided to, if I as a medical writer have these problems and I cannot straighten it out, how hard mustn't it be for me normal women that are not into medicine as I am? So I wanted to help. I thought I could do something good here. And I think a lot of women have read my book. I already get messages from Australia, from all over, that it really has. You have to start talk about the perimenopause too, not only the menopause.
Well, and I think it's interesting that as a Western medicine trained provider, I did a whole TED talk about perimenopause. So it's something near and dear to my heart, that no one had ever used that term. It wasn't until I literally smacked into a wall and put on a bunch of weight and, went from being like fit, toned, happy to all of a sudden just being exhausted and craving crazy foods and just not being my norm. And that was the impetus for trying to figure out what was going on. And I feel as if there's a certain degree, and certainly here in the United States, and I can't speak to other countries, but there's a degree of ageism. We're very interested in talking about women when they start menstruating, when they need contraception, when they want to get pregnant or not get pregnant, or infertility, the postpartum period. And then somehow once women are done having children, there's a lot less emphasis, focus, concern. And so I'm so glad that you, I'm sorry that you had that experience, but I'm so glad that you wrote a book that will, provide, for many women, the answers that they're really seeking, and start those conversations with their healthcare providers that need to be had. I mean, I think that, I just know from practicing clinically as a nurse practitioner in my 20s and 30s, and I would have women in their 40s coming in and describing the symptoms that you've alluded to and ones that I've experienced as well. And I didn't necessarily listen as sympathetically as I probably could have, largely because I didn't understand what this time period really represents. But I think it's important that there's more focus, that there's more, you know, more opportunities for women to learn so that they can avoid or navigate this time period and not be so concerned about it.
I don't know how it is in the US, but here in Europe, we have like this huge problem that the MDs, I mean, the health practitioners, they don't study this when they go to medical school. They when you go to gynecologist, she won't either know what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And I mean, but I think that it's starting to change. I can see a big change going on in the UK. They are having like these big campaigns about this menopause period in women's life that is so important. But I think that the huge problem is that it's not that we women don't know. It's that our health practitioners don't know. Mm-hmm. They want us to feel like we are depressed. And of course we are, in a way, because if you don't sleep, you will get depressed. Mm-hmm. And I think the problem that I really thought was a huge problem was that everyone was trying to give me this amount of sleeping pills. And I refused to take them. I don't want to put like drugs in my body in that way. So I started to take how do you say that in English?
Melatonin.
Melatonin, yes. And that helped me to cope with the situation. But so I think it is a huge problem. And I think so many women have this problem. I mean, in Sweden, we are like 1 million women going through this stage right now. And we have maybe, I don't know how many, but maybe 15 menopause specialists. So we don't even have clinics where you can go and speak to someone who knows what this is. You just go to your GP and he looks like at you and like, no, this is in your head. And I know that it's not in my head.
Or it seems like they're trying to fit you into something, some category or some diagnosis that is more socially appropriate or well known, like maybe like depression.
Yes. And burned out syndrome, that is a huge debate on this in Sweden. Everyone is burned out. And I think that a lot of women getting the burned out diagnosis, maybe they should have their hormones tested. Because if we looked at it from the base, I mean, if you are hormonal balanced, I think you can cope with stress better. That's what I think. It was like that for me. When I had my hormones balanced, I was stress. I could cope with more stress in a way.
It makes sense. I mean, what starts to happen in our bodies as we're kind of transitioning into perimenopause is that we're not producing as much progesterone, which is in women is predominantly produced in the ovaries. And then, you know, the adrenal glands will start to pick up the slack. So it's not at all surprising, you know, at the same time, all of a sudden we have this relative estrogen dominance and women will get heavier periods. And what I find is most of my patients are being offered ablations, hormonal contraception. You know, here in the United States, it's all about, ablations, hysterectomies. And so I always remind them that, you know, perimenopause is a natural function of aging. It's just, how do we weather it? What can we do? And what I appreciate about some of the things that you incorporate in your book are things that we can do that don't require medication or surgical intervention that can be beneficial. And I'd love for you to kind of touch on, you know, when you were writing this book, what are some of the things that you feel are really non-negotiables for women in this time period in terms of lifestyle changes and dietary changes that can really be helpful?
Americans spend an average of 90% of their time indoors and take about 20,000 breaths a day. The indoor air that we breathe is 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air. and in some circumstances, up to 100 times more polluted, according to the EPA. And did you know that air pollution is responsible for nearly 7 million premature deaths globally? So what's the solution? I want to introduce you to a product by Air Doctor that has captured the attention of established media outlets like CNN, ABC, and more. Air Doctor filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so that your lungs don't have to. This includes pollutants such as allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses that have the potential to go on and make us sick. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day, breathe easy, money-back guarantee. So if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use code Cynthia. You'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 in value. Look at this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code Cynthia. I absolutely love my air filters. They're an integral component to ensuring that the air that my family breathes in our home is as safe as possible.
A great deal about our focus on everyday wellness is on supporting gut health. And one of my new favorite ways to recommend to family and friends and even clients is to consider colostrum. And so Equip Foods has an amazing product that helps to improve immunity and gut health and recovery. And each scoop contains grass-fed, pasture-raised, antibiotic-free colostrum. And if you're wondering what colostrum is, it's a nutritional powerhouse that serves as the first source of nutrition for mammals in nature. It's been shown to enhance immune function, gut health, and recovery with vital nutrients such as lactoferrin, growth factors, and prolon-rich polypeptides. Colostrum is a natural milk-like fluid produced by mammals immediately following delivery of the newborn. And while colostrum is a dairy product, it does not contain milk or lactose. So most people with lactose intolerance usually find colostrum very easily digestible and beneficial to gut health. You can use one scoop a day. You can mix it in things like coffee or mix it in shakes or even yogurt or even some of your baked food recipes. As I mentioned, has a lot of health benefits, including research demonstrating the improvement in a reduction in inflammation, promoting good gut flora, and supporting restoring leaky gut to normal permeability. And what I love best is that Equip Foods is very ethically focused. Their cows are humanely raised and ethically treated, and cows produce an excess of colostrum when nursing. So only after their babies get what they need are they able to source the excess colostrum for use in their products. There is 3 grams of colostrum in each scoop, and one serving in comparison to main competitors has just 1 gram. And research demonstrates that this dose, the 3 grams, actually promotes more benefits to gut health, immune function, recovery, and vitality. So if you'd love to take care of your health, you can go to www.equipfoods.com/Cynthia20 to get 20% off your first order. That's www.equipfoods.com/Cynthia20. You definitely want to check this out.
I think that in form of training, I mean, physical activity is a miracle that we know that if we move, we will prolong our lives. That is not, you cannot discuss that. That's a fact. So I think, but the problem during this period is that you cannot go on like you did before. I felt that I was training very much. I was running, I was doing strength training, I was doing interval training, but I could feel during this period that my body was so stressed even when I trained, after when I trained, that, I mean that condition, how do you say, not conditioning, cardio training made my body stressed. So I felt that I have to calm down, and the most important for me during this period was to find like calmer training forms like yoga has made a huge impact on my well-being. Restorative yoga was like my lifesaver during this period, because I could feel that my body had to come down from something. It was like my body was so stressed. So I think that low intensity training like yoga, mindfulness, Pilates, those training forms is something you really should take up during this period of time. Regarding diet, I'm not into diet like don't eat that or don't do eat this, but I think that what I could really feel that when I stopped eating meat, like when I just became vegetarian, I felt better, because studies say that vegetarians have less hot flashes, that you can see that if you eat meat, you will have more problems with hot flashes. So I think it's very good to go on. You don't have to be vegan. It's not what I say, but a vegetarian diet is very good. Quit sugar. That is really, really important. It was for me. I could really feel that when I quit sugar, I felt so much better. So sugar, no meat, and then of course alcohol and coffee. That is not, it doesn't work for me. If I drink too much coffee, I don't feel good, and if I drink too much alcohol, I will have the worst hangover ever. So you have to take care. You have to take really, really extra care of your body during this period of time.
Katarina, I'm curious, did you make all of these changes at the same time, or did you make some and that helped others to be easier to make?
When it started, when I was 42, 43, I gradually changed my lifestyle. And between 43 and 45, I could cope with adding, like first I stopped with sugar, then I stopped with coffee, and then I stopped training so hard. So it was like a timeline. It was during a couple of years. And then when I was 48, I started with HRT, and I described that in my book also. So my book is like a timeline. You can have it from 40 plus until you're 50 plus. That was my, that's what I wanted.
You know, and it's interesting because perimenopause can start in your late 30s. So, when I'm working with women, I remind them that just because you're, south of 40 doesn't mean that, you're not already starting to undergo some of those physiologic changes in your body. And I think that you hit on some really important points. And so much of it is really bio-individual. I find that many women become intolerant to dairy and gluten and grains and, in addition to alcohol, the joke is that anything that dysregulates your blood sugar and alcohol is a big one. Yeah. Caffeine can really put a strain on your body. And so for many women, it's the battle within. And I'm sure Kelly can kind of, talk more about this from her practice, the battle within, the emotional attachment we have to some of these foods and how challenging that can be for some people to, remove them from their diets. But the caveat is that for many women, when they start changing their nutrition, all of a sudden, so many pieces start to make sense. And, one thing that I think is really critical are, carbohydrates. And it doesn't mean that carbohydrates are bad. I'm a huge advocate of, low glycemic berries. I love a good green tip banana every once in a while. I like citrus fruits or sweet potatoes or root vegetables, but recognizing that you just can't eat them in copious qualities. I look at my husband, who's a few years older than me, and he seems, he does intermittent fasting, which I do as well, but we talk about the fact that we have to eat very differently, me especially, at this point in our lives. And I don't look at that as something that's a hardship. I look at that as I'm honoring my body where it is in time and place, and I don't miss some of those foods that don't make me feel good. And Kelly, Yeah. I'm curious, Kelly, when you're working with, you know, your patients and they have to, you know, make dietary changes, who are the people that tend to be most successful?
Well, as you know, making any sort of change is very complex. But I think what you both are talking about is this mindset shift that's really important. So it's when my clients are able to shift from this mindset of deprivation and things that they have to give up and focusing on those negative things to looking at the new kinds of foods they may be able to enjoy that perhaps they hadn't included in their diet. And also how that makes them feel. Like you said, Cynthia, feeling better can be a huge motivator to keep going. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I also think as this idea of perimenopause becomes more widespread and accepted, there's sort of a sisterhood that's formed when people realize they're not going through this alone, or it's not all in their head, or it's not that they're crazy. And that can be very empowering for making change and then having that support of others and resources like your book, Katerina, to help them sustain those changes.
Yes, I think that is really important, just the fact that you're not alone. I mean, just going to your medical practitioner that says to you that this is normal, this is something that every woman is going through, we will help you, or we believe you. I mean, just for them saying to us that they believe us, that is a huge thing for your self-confidence, mm-hmm. that someone is listening to you. And that was also one of the things that I really wanted with my book, that women felt that we are all the same. Everyone mm-hmm. is going through this. And we can help each other by sharing our stories all over the world. Everyone is going through this.
And I think it's so critical, you know, if women live long enough, they will experience this. And there's a really interesting statistic that I oftentimes like to share, mm-hmm. that in 1900, the average life expectancy in the United States was 47 years old.
Yeah, I know.
And so now it's the 80s. And I explain to people that, you know, you can live 40% of your lifetime in perimenopause and beyond. So we need to do everything we can to, you know, provide great information so that women make this transition. And I find the people or the women that I speak to that transitioned from perimenopause into menopause rather uneventfully, they're much happier. You know, there are women that are really struggling, just miserable. They don't sleep. They've gained 30 pounds. You know, their quality of life has really been negatively impacted. And it makes me so sad that you know, they may not have had access to this information at an earlier stage that might have had a huge impact on how they view themselves. I think, you know, the limiting beliefs that, you know, so many of us struggle with, you know, none of us are immune to them. Some people just kind of say, well, I'm north of 40 years old, so, you know, I just assume this is going to be my new normal.
Yeah.
And trying to explain that doesn't have to be the case.
I think it's interesting that you say that the transition from perimenopause to the menopause is mm-hmm. is bad, because I can see that in my research, and I'm not fully into menopause yet, but I'm soon there. I'm 51. Mm-hmm. But I can feel that I feel better now than I did when mm-hmm. I was 42. So yeah. I think that the rockier part of this transition phase in women's life is the perimenopause, not yeah. the menopause. And that is where the discussion also has to change, that mm-hmm. that the perimenopause is the rockier part of this.
Yeah.
I've been using Mitapure for the last 2 years, and I've added this to my routine for multiple reasons. Number one, it's a foundational supplement for me and my family. It keeps things simple, and I know that I cannot get enough of urolithin A in my food to derive the same benefits. And if you're not familiarized with urolithin A, it's a signaling molecule, but it's also actively involved in anti-aging, energy production. And I take Timeline because of its remarkable healthy aging solution that activates key critical cellular pathways in my body. It's a total game changer for healthy aging. I alternate between using the soft gels and powder, depending on whether or not I'm traveling. And we know that restoring cellular energy is a key to enduring health. And this is concluded in a recent publication in Nature Metabolism, which is a top scientific journal identifying that newly energized cells may provide many more years of healthy life to people. Yet as we age, we know that cellular energy production naturally declines and reduces our prospects of optimal health and longevity. That's the great thing about Timeline, is you can restore cellular energy and support healthy aging. I've noticed the biggest improvements in my energy and sleep levels. We know that Timeline is clinically shown to give our cellular energy generators, the mitochondria, new power. And when taken daily, it replaces aging mitochondria, so it upregulates mitophagy and rebuilds new ones, or mitogenesis. Timeline is the only nutrient that can do what it does. So Timeline renews your cells to a more powerful state. My listeners can get 10% off your first order at timeline.com/Cynthia. That's 10% off at timeline.com/Cynthia. I know you're going to love this product. At some point, we've all been sold a big fat lie. It's called the protein misconception. So starting in the 1980s, we all believed that more protein equated to more muscle growth. And I'm here to tell you, it's a big misconception. This has a great deal to do that our body can only absorb protein that's broken down into smaller building blocks called amino acids. It doesn't matter if you're consuming 30 grams of protein or 300 grams of protein. If you don't have a sufficient supply of enzymes to digest the protein, your muscles will ultimately be unable to use these as vital building blocks. That's why it's crucial you take a high quality digestive enzyme. The one I trust and use myself is called MassZymes by Bioptimizers. MassZymes is a full spectrum enzyme formula with more protease than any other commercially available product, with five different forms of protease. Plus, it contains all the other key enzymes you need for optimal digestion. If you're experiencing bloating, gas, or digestive distress, a contributing factor can be that your body is no longer producing as much digestive enzymes. And you can try MassZymes today, risk-free. They have a 365-day full money-back guarantee and is the gold standard in the industry. Go to bioptimizers.com/Cynthia. That's bioptimizers.com/Cynthia, and use promo code Cynthia10 for 10% off of any order. Again, that's promo code Cynthia10 for 10% off any order.
Yeah, they call it the second puberty. There was a New York Times op-ed piece talking about that. You know, I think Gwyneth Paltrow was the impetus for part of the discussion, but she was saying that, you know, they call it the second puberty, and much like, you know, how tumultuous things were as a teenager, and, you know, not really understanding why, you know, your body was doing things the way that it was. It's, you know, the same way, except less well understood.
Yeah. We had actually this autumn when my book was released here in Sweden, we have this big, big menopause hype. It was all over. It was in the TV shows, in the magazines, on podcasts. So I think that and in the UK, it's happening also. And I can see that in other countries too. I mean, I just found out that a Russian publishing house is actually buying the rights for my book. So
amazing.
I think it's happening all over.
Wow.
So yeah, it's great being on your podcast talking about it too. So thank you.
Absolutely. No, and that's the really neat thing about social media. It allows you to connect with, you know, women or men that you otherwise would not connect with. And if you have a shared appreciation or shared interest, it's a great way to, you know, certainly introduce our listeners to another person that's you know, championing this time in a woman's life, which, you know, because I'm in my 40s, I feel very fervently and very strongly that there's not enough good information. I mean, I think it's changing, like you mentioned, and certainly, you know, that the tides are shifting as women are demanding, you know, more information. And I'm looking at my bookshelf as I'm speaking. I probably have every book that's out there right now.
Because I
kept saying, you know, we're missing opportunities with women. That's really what this comes down to. And I think that's so unfortunate, because, you know, with the power of social media, with the power of, you know, having the opportunity to connect with people from all over the world, you know, it can really impact women's perceptions of themselves and you know, the rest of their lives so significantly.
I also think it really...
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Oh, I also think it really is powerful, given that when many women go to their OBGYNs, they might not necessarily have this understanding or this information. So even though we tend to seek out a doctor for things related to our health, there are all of these sources with very solid scientific backed information that are now available to empower women.
I hear often from women that say that, hi, I'm 51, I'm already in menopause. I'm so sad that your book wasn't here when I was going through it. And I feel sad for this woman, because they had to struggle. Like, maybe I think that the conversation that is starting right now will help our daughters. And that is also my aim. I don't have any daughters. I only have sons. But I think for the girls that are growing up now, it won't be the same when they hit this terrible phase in life. So, yeah.
It's interesting. We all share that we all have all boys too. Isn't that funny? The all boy connection. Yes.
Yes. Okay, so Cynthia, do you have any more questions for me, or?
Well, we always like to end the podcast with asking our guests if they would like to share two pieces of information that can help support our listeners' health and wellness journey.
I always say that the most important thing you have to think about is gratefulness, because just aging is, you have to be grateful. Not everyone gets to age. Mm-hmm. So I think just being grateful for being here is also one thing that will help you through this period. And then I think that knowledge is power, which means that it's your decision if you want to go on HRT or if you don't want to change your diet or your training. It's your decision. So get so much information that you do the best decision for yourself. That is the best I can give.
Oh, that's so valuable. And it's so true at this time of life and really throughout all periods of life too, that focus on gratitude is so important.
Yeah.
Well, we so thank you for spending part of your day with us and sharing your knowledge.
Thank you. I'm so happy. Thank you so much that you put me on this.
Thank you so much for joining us. You can find out more about Cynthia and her work at chtwellness.com. And you can find out more about Kelly and her work at everydaytherapist.com. In addition, if you have questions for us or topics you'd like us to address, please email us at everydaywellnesspodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, be well.